Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What up, Fightful friends and family, and welcome to episode 14, I think, of Fightful Wrestling Roundtable. I am your host, Shaquille Matjoie of CBS Sports, but you're not really here for me. I'm like table bread. I'm reliable, I'm consistent, I'm here every time, but you come for that carefully curated menu, and we got a doozy today. First to my right on the screen, if I'm not mistaken, you know that voice, SiriusXM Busted Open Radio, Dave LaGreca. How's it going, my man?
I am excited for this. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much for being here. It's very appropriate that you've got Cody Rhodes there in the background. We'll be getting to him at some point today. I'm thrilled to see that. You know who she is. Royalty in the house. The queen of the ring, Alex Lajas. I got that right. The silent H.
How's I am so proud of you.
Thank you. I didn't have to ask.
Proud of you again, for getting that right. Oh, you'd be surprised how many people ask while we're live. But yes, hi.
Well,
hello.
And as we've learned, sometimes you walk into a venue and they legitimately have Queen of the Ring written down. So it's not just a Twitter handle. That is life.
Yeah, it is. I live that life. So.
And speaking of someone living life to the fullest, home from a wonderful excursion out to the U.S., running on fumes, but good fumes they are. It's probably like 10:30 their time, and their screen is appropriately frozen on their tired, dying
face. Maybe you fell asleep.
Simon Miller, trying to stay awake. How's it going, my man?
Now I'm worried. Have I frozen? Because I haven't frozen. No one else is frozen. So now I don't know what's going on. I hope you can hear me.
I can hear you. Well. It's starting to catch up. Well, I'm sure it'll sort itself out the next minute or two. Honestly, it really fell in line with where I was
damn
going.
Damn British.
Thank you for that, Simon. All right. Well,
British
Simon
Wi-Fi sucks.
Gets his Wi-Fi together. We'll give him a break. Give him a second to collect himself here. Busy. It feels like every week in 2023 in pro wrestling is busy. If we thought it was going to slow down after what was sort of a milestone year in 2022, it doesn't seem to be the case. But I would like to start here. I imagine Pornhub had a big bump in searches this week as everyone was looking for Raw Triple X, the 30th anniversary of Raw. They were probably left disappointed, neither here nor there.
I was trying to register if you actually said Pornhub, and you did, so.
You know, I feel safe under the branding that Sean Ross Sapp has sort of created here over at Fightful. So I think, if anything, it'd be apropos. It'd be a missed opportunity if I didn't. The 30th anniversary of Raw took place on Monday night. I saw a lot of feedback. I was getting messages from people who were super excited about how the show was playing out. Those who booked their tickets, you know, it was something like a record domestic gate for an episode of Raw. I'm sure more than one person was stoked for that steel cage match that they did not get. Let's break it down. The good and the bad of the 30th anniversary episode of Raw. Dave, overall, what culture style? Are we giving this an up or a down? How'd you feel about how the show played out?
I'm giving it an up. Obviously, we're going to get into some of the bad, but I am definitely giving the show an up.
All right. You know what? Let's poll the room. Alex, up or down?
I'm giving it a meh.
Oh, meh.
So, breaking the rules. Very first topic of the day. I appreciate it. But the queen does what the queen wants, if Charlotte Flair has taught me anything.
Sometimes.
Simon, I don't know if you've ever done one of these before. Up, down, how are we rating this?
Yeah, I've never done this. Brand new for me. This is great, crazy territory. I would absolutely give it an up. I thought it was a very enjoyable Raw. There were certainly some down moments that, like Dave said, we'll talk about. But overall, I walked away going, yeah, I had a good time.
Okay, so let's start there. For you, what were sort of on the plus sides the biggest takeaway of Monday Night Raw, Dave?
Obviously, seeing The Undertaker, the American Badass, was great. The opening segment with the Bloodline and Sami Zayn and the trial of Sami Zayn was fantastic. And Jey Uso was the MVP of that segment. That was great. DX, instead of getting the usual Shawn Michaels super kicking somebody or Triple H pedigreeing somebody, I kind of like that they were like, we're too old for this now. And it turned into a great six man. And I loved the main event, and I loved the return of Brock. Those were to me. And oh, also Kevin Owens' promo from last night, I thought was very good as well. So those were a lot of the pluses that I saw from last night.
Alex, what sort of, I know you said meh, but what sort of dragged that up for you? What stood out as some of the marquee best moments of the night?
I definitely have to agree with everything that Dave said. You know, like, everything was great. It was nice to see the legends come out. And it's always great to see legends mixed in with the current roster and to see, you know, the platform that they have built for the current roster right now. It is amazing that we are 30 years into Monday Night Raw. And I absolutely agree with that opening segment with the Bloodline. I tweeted it out, and I wholeheartedly think that they deserve an Emmy for that segment. And I do agree that Jay was the MVP of that as well. And then going into the match between Judgment Day and the Bloodline with the Usos and throwing up the X, and then Sammy had to come in, it was phenomenal the way that they played it out. And overall, I do agree, it was a good Raw. But when we get to the bad, we'll get to the bad.
Simon, what did you like most about this episode?
I mean, yeah, it's mostly what everyone has already said. I think the first hour was tremendous television. And I think all the matches, well, barring the ones we're going to talk about, you know, I really think delivered. But to try and sort of give it a different spin, what I really was taken aback by was in that first segment, you had the callbacks from Paul Heyman. You had the callbacks from Jey Uso with those video clips. So it rewarded you. You've been watching a long time. But then we got to the tag match, you know, the Usos versus the Judgment Day. They did it again. Because obviously Jimmy gets injured and Sami Zayn gets, a substituted in. And Adam Pearce says, well, you know, it's not really with the rules, but I did it when the Judgment Day became the number one contenders. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fair to say that over, you know, a big time period, WWE didn't necessarily rely on what they had done even a week ago to tell the stories going forward. So now that you're actually being patted on the back for things that have happened months ago, I think is great. And it reminds you, hey, maybe you do want to watch every single week, because while it may seem somewhat insignificant at the time, it will have a payoff again, a month, 2 months, whatever. I love that stuff. And that was kind of something that I thought really deserved some praise.
Yeah, you know, Dave, is it possible to turn your mic down a smidge if it's too much effort? Don't worry about
it. Sure, no, absolutely.
Thank you. What really stood out for me is I feel like a lot of times in the past, these sort of milestone episodes are kind of throwaways. I mean, even go back to just a short while ago when we had sort of the D-Generation X self. This was a way better DX segment than the last one, where they just kind of like came out with their glow sticks, did their shtick, and all right, go home, peace, great. I really appreciated the effort to sort of use the older legends to give a little bit of a rub to the up-and-coming superstars. I like, you know, LA, some people were upset that LA Knight got wrecked, but I mean, LA Knight's the perfect guy to sort of slot into that role. He gets a moment one-on-one in the ring with The Undertaker, which I doubt he came backstage and complained about afterwards. You get to see The Undertaker do a little passing of the torch-ish moment to Bray Wyatt. I love the way that really natural chemistry between JBL and Ron Simmons and The Godfather, and how Baron Corbin ties into that, how the Street Profits and Seth Rollins came to help DX out. I thought there was a very, very nice little passing of the torch moments where you use your legends to actually spotlight the people that you have on your roster now. And so even I mean, back to the LA Knight thing, like Undertaker barely laid a hand on LA Knight. It was Bray Wyatt who got to hit the finisher. So all these little ways of not just sort of feeding your current roster the legends for a pop, but incorporating them all together, I really, really appreciate it. Look, we got to get to it, because I feel like Alex is just sitting here antsy waiting to dig into it. I am not as big of a... I understand a bait and switch every now and then. I don't get quite as upset as other people do when you promise something, you don't deliver. I feel like it kind of plays into the nature of how pro wrestling is presented on TV. But guys, to the poor people who went through the effort of setting up that steel cage, what a waste of time. I hope they got their bonus that night. You cannot promote a steel cage match and then not give people a steel cage match. I would like to skip ahead to Alex if it's okay here. At what point did you realize that all was lost in the segment?
I think when Damage Control climbed the cage, and I was like, oh, okay, this is not going anywhere. I was hoping that, first of all, going into Raw, I thought that was going to be the main event, and to see it earlier on the show, I thought, okay, well, maybe this is just like, you know, shenanigans, and then they'll declare that it will be the main event later that night, especially considering that it has been 19 years since we had a women's steel cage match. The first one was with Lita
and they mentioned
and Victoria,
it on the broadcast.
And they did. And I think that there should have been a little bit more of maybe a hype video package going into it, or maybe even a video package highlighting the many historic moments that women have had on Monday Night Raw. It has been 30 years. And to set that up, maybe even setting that up for the Charlotte and Bianca segment that they had. And we even had Alundra Blaze with the original women's title. And that would have been cool to see, because Charlotte Flair is SmackDown champion. Bianca Belair is also Raw champion. And so Charlotte did go into that segment talking about the women's revolution. That would have been a really great full circle to have Alundra Blaze come out and praise both of them. Maybe, like, you know, they were butting heads, maybe separate them and be like, hey, although you guys have your, you know, your heat with each other, you guys both did pave the way for women like me who did not have a chance back in the day, back in the 90s. There could have been something more. We could have had more women legends come out, like Victoria, for example. She maybe could have walked Becky out to the ring. But that is my main dilemma with Raw last night. That is my main bad. Overall, I think it was probably the best Monday Night Raw that we've had in a while, probably since the last anniversary show. And I agree with everyone across the board that with the different segments that we've had, it has been great. The Kevin Owens promo, Brock Lesnar coming out, teasing maybe an appearance on Monday Night Raw, or I'm sorry, on the Royal Rumble. But I felt like there should have been a little bit more recognition for the women that have come in the past. I mean, even this Saturday is the Royal Rumble, the first woman that has ever appeared, or the first woman that has appeared on the Royal Rumble was Chyna. She got that position because she beat the corporate Battle Royal on Monday Night Raw, and it was the main event. Even though Stone Cold Steve Austin helped her this and that, he also helped Mick Foley win the title as well on Monday Night Raw. Something could have been done. And that's just really my overall complaint about it. The Bella Twins have gone on Instagram Live to talk about it as well, and I absolutely agree with them. But that is honestly my one bad with last night's Monday Night Raw.
All right, Dave.
Unfortunately, I think the two bad segments from last night were the two women's segments. And if you listen to me this morning on Busted Open, everybody knows my opinion about that cage match. By the way, do I sound okay now?
I'll let the people decide, but you've always sounded great to me, Dave.
Okay.
Voice for radio.
I actually, Alex, the one thing I would disagree with you on is I actually loved the placement of where we were going to see Becky and Bayley, because it was right after the Undertaker segment. And I actually mentioned on yesterday's show on Monday I said that, man, if you could have that match right after one of the legend segments, it could show like maybe some viewers that haven't watched wrestling in a while that are tuning in because the Undertaker is going to be there because of these legends. And then you have a banger of a match. So like, let's just say that you, hey, I haven't watched wrestling in 20 years. And by the way, I think there was like what they're saying about over like 600,000 viewers over last week that tuned into Raw last night. So let's just say a lot of those viewers haven't watched in a while and you tuned in, you saw The Undertaker and you're like, all right, I'm going to stick and watch this show for a little while longer. And then you have Becky and Bayley put on a clinic in that cage for everybody to see. Then guess what? Maybe those viewers will tune in next week and the week after and the week after that. I really think that they dropped the ball on that match last night. If you would have had a showcase for two of the best women, those are two of the top 10 women's wrestlers over the last 20 years, and you have them in a cage on Monday Night Raw, I can't tell you how upset I am by what they did last night in that cage match. And as you said, all the people that put that cage together, and, you know, putting it together and lifting it up above the arena for what, a 5-minute segment on Raw? Come on now. Terrible job.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
To get some of this energy, I got a coffee machine right there. Should have used it. Simon,
am I wrong?
No,
that was the perfect opportunity to have new fans or old fans that haven't tuned in a while and put on a banger of a match between those two in a cage.
I think an easy 20 minutes would have been great for them. 20, 15 minutes. Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm just reading some of the comments. They got me cracking up. I'm not laughing at the situation, of course. Do we think, Simon, before we move on to you, I want to poll the room. Why? Did someone get injured? Why?
I think, the rumor and the news, if we can call it that, going around, is that the opening segment went too long. So they had to cut time. and they chose to cut that because apparently, again, this is, who knows what's true and what's not true. Becky was going to win, and then Damage Control were going to do that attack. So they thought, well, we can cut the match and we'll just do the angle afterwards. The problem with that is that there was plenty of other segments on that show you could have not even got rid of, you could have cut down, and you could have found probably 10 minutes to give to that cage match. Now, you want more than 10 minutes, but 10 minutes is much better than absolutely nothing. And I think the other issue that I had with it, to tie into Dave's point, is I didn't, the match was fine. I enjoyed the match, but I didn't get the Bianca Belair, Sonya Deville match either. I didn't see why Sonya Deville had to lose when she's about to challenge Charlotte for the title. And on a more general level, I think Sonya Deville is like great. I think she's one of the most underutilized people they have. And she just gets put in losing positions all the time, which is not a big, it's not a big deal, but it is when all of a sudden the story logic starts to kind of crumble away, because that does affect you down the line. So I think it was those two things in parity that were a shame. And going back to Alex's point, the fact that there wasn't that big a celebration of moments that we've had over the last 30 years when it comes to the women. So that's where I think the massive error was. It wasn't just, if it had just been a cage match, okay. If it'd just been this, is okay. But there was this sort of like run of little things that happened. And by the end of it, it was like, well, that was weird. I don't understand. I don't understand why we did any of that. And especially the way that Sonya Deville just lost. You know, I hit you with a KOD 1-2-3. And you're like, oh, all right. See ya. You know, it just didn't work when everything else seemed to be so well thought out heading into the Royal Rumble. None of that really seemed to be that well thought out.
In closing, before we move on to the next thing, guys, if you have a super chat that you want to leave a question for the panel, feel free to throw them in, though. We'll get to them on the back end of the show. In closing, what is your one... Let's give WWE some room to improve here. How do we like this compared to sort of previous shows of the same ilk? I thought they put a lot more thought into it than just slapping an anniversary date on it and calling it a day. What's one thing you'd like to see them improve on the next time one of these milestones comes around? Dave?
I think after watching Raw over the last couple of months is with the women. I think that's something that definitely needs to improve. I think Alex and Simon hit the nail right on the head. Put a little bit more thought into it. You know, put more. Listen, we just saw on Friday the story built between Charlotte and Sonya Deville. Why would you want to see that story play out after what we saw last night? So I think a little bit more with the women's division. That's my take.
Alex?
I agree. I think a little bit more with the women's division for sure. From the, there was a Monday Night Raw. I believe it was the Monday Night Raw before the 2018 Royal Rumble where they had it at the Hammerstein Ballroom. It's definitely much better than that because a lot of people were complaining who were in the Hammerstein Ballroom. But I did like the way that they recognized the women there then, right? Where they had a lot of the women come out. And even if it was just like, in, you know, on the stage and just waving like, hi, hello. At least there was some more recognition for that Monday Night Raw, that celebration of Monday Night Raw compared to this one. But yeah, overall, just give women a chance. That's all.
Simon, are we going 3-3 on this?
Yeah, I think so. And just to give sort of a more general overview, because you mentioned the other tribute shows or anniversary shows. I mean, we could do more with Legends overall. WWE does absolutely love going, we'll just have a poker game. And if you look in the background, you may see your favorite character from the last 15 years. And I don't mind it, but I think just now it's got a little bit old. Like, it was nice that Ted DiBiase got the moment, and IRS and DDP, Alundra Blaze just had to sit there, as we've already said, which was absolutely ridiculous. But I think maybe less is more going forward. You don't need to bring, you know, 50 people in and just have them sit there. And then that actually may, you know, improve everything that we've said. Because you won't feel the need to kind of, you know, force these things in there. But yeah, that I mean, it's absolutely 3-3 for that. But again, to end on a positive note, I did think it was a very entertaining show. But if we get to Raw 35 and they can remember that there are different people that they can focus on, I actually think it would have been pretty much a home run.
And really quick, like, I'm sorry, maybe I'm the only one that thinks this. I don't think Hulk Hogan when I think of Monday Night Raw. That's just me. Like, you know, I just don't think of Hulk Hogan when I look back at the last 30 years of Monday Night Raw.
Well, especially because from like 96 to 99, he was trying to stop Monday Night Raw. Well, earlier than that, 94 or whatever it was. Yeah.
I would have to agree with you on that. I don't think of Hogan at all. Yeah, I think of him in the Monday Night Wars, but not Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
I totally agree.
My only amendment I would make to that trial, because I thought it was perfect, I think Rikishi should have been there, and at stake, if found guilty, was like a gnarly stink face in the corner for Sami Zayn. I think that would have just put that segment over the top. Who cares? I mean, come on. Samoan Spike's great. Shout out to Umaga, but... I'd honestly rather, based on some of the stories I heard, if people aren't aware, Rikishi would keep like different levels of trunks in his bag. He'd have ones that he'd like never wash. So if you really rub that guy the wrong way, from what I understand, you would get like the worst stink face imaginable. So, you know, Samoan Spike, stink face, just a little bit. All right, guys, let's move on to topic number two. I'm sorry for everything I've subjected you guys to today. Hey, it was so funny. Earlier today, I was seeing reports that, you know, shout out to the WWE for paying tribute to the late Jay Briscoe on their show, even in a small way. Shout out to the AEW roster who did what they could. Excalibur mentioned on the broadcasts. Some wrestlers wore armbands, but... the info coming down the line was that, you know, TV executives had said, nope, we're not doing that. This dates back to some really, really old homophobic comments that sort of resurfaced from on the internet. And in his passing, they decided to kind of stick to that, no Briscoe brothers on AEW television. Well, Tony Khan announced today that Mark Briscoe will be going one-on-one with Jay Lethal on AEW Dynamite, a tribute to the late Jay Briscoe, recently passed away. How, you know, I'd like to know not only how do we feel, but why do we think that they sort of went back and loosened up their feelings on this? For me, as someone who covers a lot of MMA, UFC president Dana White's Power Slap League recently launched, barely after he was captured on camera slapping his wife a lot harder than she slapped him. And it was just ridiculous to me that not only did they air that product, but their sort of punishment was, let's just push it back a week after that video emerged. And then you're telling AEW that they can't pay tribute to a deceased wrestler. Just mine blows my mind, but you know, I'm here to sort of set the table. Dave, we start with you last. We'll start with Alex this time. How do you feel about the news, and how do we think we got here? I know, obviously, you don't know the inner workings necessarily, but how do you feel about how all this came together for Mark and Jay Lethal on TV?
Yeah, I am happy that, you know, Jay Briscoe is going to have a proper tribute on AEW with his brother and Jay Lethal, which is funny because my first live Ring of Honor show was Best in the World 2015. It was in Terminal 5, and the main event was Jay Lethal versus Jay Briscoe. So for me, that's like full story for me personally. But in terms of the business side with Warner, I understand that they wouldn't want to celebrate him after discovering that he did make homophobic remarks. I do identify in the LGBTQ plus community, and I think that, you know, I believe wholeheartedly that if someone holds themselves accountable and makes the change and shows the growth, not only, you know, in the limelight, but also backstage as well, I think we should hold on to that a little bit more. And it was 9 years ago. That's not an excuse. 9 years ago, you know, sure, you know, you should know better. But there are a lot of wrestlers who are a part of the LGBTQ plus community that shared a locker room with him and have told numerous stories of how he has been the one to welcome them into the locker room. And he has been the one to, you know, open the doors for them a little bit of comfort in the locker room, especially as an LGBTQ plus wrestler. If you're a gay wrestler, like, you may not feel a little too comfortable, especially when, you know, in a locker room setting to begin with, especially in this industry that is very masculine, right? And sometimes a toxic masculine environment as well. But I do think that, again, as long as they're held accountable and they change, it's fine. But again, I understand in a business standpoint, they may not know too much about what was going on within his growth since he's made those comments. So I understand why they wouldn't. I am glad to see that they've, you know, uplifted it and they're allowing them to pay tribute to him. I hope that, you know, they do a little bit more, of course, now that they have the permission to do it with more than just a match. But yeah, it's nice to see that that has happened. But again, like, I think with a lot of fans that do identify in the LGBTQ plus community, if they still feel after all of that, that they don't want to support him, that's also okay too, just because people are valid to, you know, have their own opinion and have their own stance on some things, especially in that community. There are so many laws that are being passed now, like anti-trans laws, especially this year, that are trying to be passed. And so I understand both sides, but it is very wonderful to see that they are paying tribute to him, especially after such a tragic loss. And it has shaken up the entire wrestling community, but it's also very amazing to see that this community does come together for that, to take care of one another.
Yeah. Simon, for those who, you know, I was actually kind of pleasantly surprised to see WWE mention it, because the Briscoe brothers, you know, Roe till the day they die, apologies if that comes out wrong, you know, a cornerstone of not just that promotion, but of independent wrestling. Like, when you think about tag teams that were not signed by the WWE, it's the Briscoe brothers. Man, they've been tearing it up for such a long time. How exciting is it to see that there's going to be a platform to recognize a professional wrestler who maybe has kind of flown under the radar of the mainstream audience for such a long time?
Yeah, I think it's really important. Like, you know, it's if you kind of sort of go into the history about the Jay Briscoe, you know, the Briscoes and WWE, there was an offer there. Then there was the issues with the tweets. The offer was rescinded. And then, you know, a few years later, there was another offer. But the Briscoes decided that it was a lowball offer, essentially. And the Briscoes decided, well, it's not worth it financially. We can continue to work on our farm, or we can see our family and our kids. So, you know, I think the fact that there was interest there, but there were sort of, you know, extenuating circumstances, goes to show that people were interested in them. And really, when you go through their body of work over the last 20 years, if you want to say, and I know it's difficult because you kind of have to hit those major promotions to get this kind of accolade. That's just how it works in any kind of a sport. But yeah, if you want to say, like, you know, they're the best tag team of the last two decades, the evidence is there when you go through their matches. I think after a certain point, maybe, I mean, I'm just pulling a date out of nowhere, 2008, 2009, 2010, I don't think they had bad matches. I don't think they ever had bad matches. And they obviously had chemistry as brothers and a tag team. And then when they did their singles stuff, you know, they had their own stories and work, you know, bodies of work that they brought into it. So, you know, I think it is important, because you want those memories to stay alive, and you want those memories to be, and you want those matches to be showcased. So even if it's just a mention on, you know, on NXT or on SmackDown, obviously the bigger thing that AEW is going to do, that just opens the door. And especially, and I never want to talk on, you know, people that are grieving's behalf, but I can only imagine there must be some solace to that, to know that the amount of effort, the blood, the sweat, the tears they put in isn't just going to be, it's not going to vanish, right? And hopefully we can put it on a platform. I mean, just to echo what, you know, Alex said too, it's, you know, it's always going to be tied up with the controversy. And I said it on the video that we did on What Culture. Like, I'm a white, bald, straight guy, so I don't get to make that call. Like, I stand by that. The crazies came at me, but I don't get to make that call, because, you know, words can hurt. Like, somebody wants to come at the bald community, man, I'm right in there. I'm like, let's go right now. But, you know, all the wrestlers that I did talk to that were, you know, homosexual or, you know, part of the community, every single one I talked to, I mean, it wasn't a great number, but, you know, a few people did say he's, you know, completely changed his, you know, he can change his ways. He knows that he's sorry. When he was signed to Ring of Honor under Tony Khan, Tony Khan said, you're going to have to undergo sensitivity training. So he said, yep, totally get it. And I think that story is massively important to get out there as well. Again, much like Alex said, if words hurt you, you can't just flick a light switch and get over it. And you have to go on your own journey with that. But I also think it's really important that the other side did get out and everybody has come together to say, this man knew he did wrong. And I truly think, you know, maybe it's just how I see the world. Yeah, we all going to make mistakes. Some mistakes are worse than others. But if you truly do, yeah, hold yourself accountable and you learn and you spend the next 10 years trying to get better and asking questions. Like, a lot of the stories that Ian Riccoboni told were incredible, and the conversation that they had. I think it's important to throw that into the mix as well. So hopefully that is the message that's got out there now, which is why WWE and other companies are like, yeah, we have to celebrate what this guy did in wrestling, because it was second to none. Like, it truly was. He was a very, very special talent.
Rightfully so. We put a lot of the emphasis on Jay, and there will be that way on AEW Dynamite tonight, I imagine. But there is another brother who is going to have to keep it together, get in that ring, and pay tribute. Dave, I mean, we can only imagine, but what are your thoughts about what Mark Briscoe is going to go through tonight?
It's going to be tough. And, Jay Briscoe is somebody probably is on Busted Open more than any other guest in the 13 years that we've been on the air. And I just want to echo what Alex and Simon said, and the fact that, you know, once a word is out there, you can't kill a word. Once you speak that word or tweet that word, it's out there. And it's very difficult to rectify something once it is out there, and you offend people and you hurt people. But man, if there was any story that you want to tell, is about how Jay wanted to rectify that as best he could, and wanted to listen, people can change, you know, all of us, everybody that's, you know, a part of this show or listening to this show, you can change. And I think Jay Briscoe definitely tried to educate himself on a community that he wasn't familiar with. And I think that side of the story needs to be told too. And then the hypocrisy of, like you mentioned, the Power Slap League, like after that video went out there, that you just delay it 1 week. And then the hypocrisy of major companies not wanting to talk about it, wanting to bury it, and not wanting it to come to light. Like, so for this person to not get the proper tribute a week ago, like he should have, somebody who made a mistake, understood he made a mistake, and wanted to learn from that mistake and educate himself. And then you have this Power Slap League that continued to go on and be on the air. It's terrible, but we have to look forward. And I'm glad that Mark and Jay Lethal are going to have this match and have a proper tribute for Jay Briscoe.
Yeah, let me just add to that. Former UFC fighter Eric Spicely tweeted that he was reached out to participate. First round, and like if you watch the videos, people are getting like knocked out cold at these things. $2,000 to show up, and $2,000 if you win. So you lose that first round, you get knocked out cold, that's $2,000. Good luck at the hospital. I doubt they're covering much.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Just the strangest, most absurd thing.
Isn't there also like CTE conversations being brought up with the Power Slap as well?
There must be. I mean, that's a whole different podcast. But as someone who watches people bludgeon each other all day, I get it. But like, you should be able to defend. Their excuse I saw today was, oh, there's a lot of defense involved in how you flex your neck, and I'm like, that is not
for defense.
I can't imagine how that got a green light. I don't know what executive said, this is a great idea, let's put it on TV.
I will always laugh that buried inside Dana White's Power Slap League is white power, just right there. It's a fun little touch. Just the perfect thing for TBS branding. Good job, guys. Okay. Now, before we move on to the next thing, we got to go to Sean Ross Sapp real quick. The guy who keeps the lights running here. If you are a closeted fan of Power Slap and you don't want anyone to know what you're watching, he might have a product for you. So we're not going to be able to hear this guy. So let's just see what he has to say.
NordVPN.com/Fightful. How about this? 30-day money back guarantee. 4 months free. Watch your favorite shows abroad, whether you're traveling or you're at home and you want to watch something from overseas. Access this on all of your devices, phone, laptop, desktop, PC, tablet, doesn't matter. 3 great tiers, a pass, a locker, a VPN, or all 3. Block annoying pop-up ads, block malware, block online trackers. Keep your data safe, browse anonymously, browse securely. with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. You know I'm a snoop. I'm not a criminal, but I am a snoop. So unless you want me getting your scoops, get NordVPN.com/Fightful. Secure all of your devices. Check it out. It's a great deal. How can you afford to miss this? You're going to end up saving money with NordVPN.com/Fightful and having a better browsing experience.
There we go. Thank you, SRS, for doing what you do. Now, before we move on to a little bit of the Q&As, the Super Chats, guys, if there's anything you want to ask Dave, Alex, Simon, who knows, maybe your old boy Shaq can help you out with something. Please leave a dollar, leave a thousand. I got my preference, but either way, I'll get your questions read. The Royal Rumble is upon us. Man, I mean, Monday, Wednesday, we're not even through Wednesday, and there's so much to talk about. But the Royal Rumble, my favorite annual pay-per-view ever since they butchered Survivor Series. This year was good, but the last... we are coming off what some would say is the most abysmal Royal Rumble match in WWE history. Top five, without a doubt, if I may say so myself. You know, you had Shane McMahon make, like, what, 800 grand for, like, 22 seconds of rabbit punching, and... that whole fiasco. Shout out to Bad Bunny. He did his thing. I am really, really excited for this year's match. Now, I'm still under the belief and the assumption that creative is running through Triple H. And if that can just last till Saturday, I am prepared for the house to fall apart come Sunday morning. But I'd really appreciate if we can hold it together for just what? When Thursday? Three more days. And I'll be a happy camper. The Royal Rumble is coming. I'm so excited to see what it might look like with a little bit more focus. Cody Rhodes' announcement has been heavily hyped. Shout out to the man to your left there, Dave. I think that's been a great sort of nod to it. The Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns stuff has been fantastic. It's hilarious to me that that creepy Bray Wyatt match has a Mountain Dew logo slapped on it, but whatever. on a scale of 1 to 10, Simon, what is your interest level for the Royal Rumble right now?
Oh, man, I'd say 9. You know, the only reason I don't say 10 is because you always got to leave yourself somewhere to go. But, I mean, it's all about stories, right? It's all about angles. And you just dropped a load in there. Like, even if you're not massively into the story, at least it's there. And at least you can sink your teeth into it. And I agree with you. I think, let's say that Triple H is going to be in charge of this Royal Rumble. His first Royal Rumble. You could argue the biggest pay-per-view, excuse me, premium live event, that he's had. So far, he's going to want to knock it out the park. And given all the little seeds he's planted so far, I don't see why he's not going to be able to do it. I mean, there is so much hype and there's so much enthusiasm that around about 4 p.m. my time today, all of a sudden, a bunch of betting companies said, oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin's now the favorite. And you're like, okay, well, this is getting out of control now, right? But this is the point. People are just going nuts and they're fantasy booking and they're excited. And I believe that this is the highest, paid gate in Royal Rumble history. Last night at Raw, I think Raw made more money in ticket sales than it's ever made. Now, of course, inflation and ticket prices come into that. But when you're talking about excitement and you start hearing all of these figures, and you start hearing all of these people going, maybe this can happen and maybe that can happen. Seems to have been, kind of nullified now. But it was only a week ago saying, oh, The Rock's going to turn up. The Rock's going to win the Royal Rumble. Look, there's electricity on the Royal Rumble poster. And that, to me, just goes to show that people are into this event and they want to know what's going to happen. And I mean, I really hope it's an absolute barn burner. I have to say, going back to our first conversation, I'm a little bit worried that only 7 women have declared for the Women's Royal Rumble. I kind of feel like we should get on that train, but we've had that discussion. I think we all agree. But at the end of the day, it doesn't actually matter, because if you book the Royal Rumble right, be it men's, women's, whatever, it's always a great match. And it doesn't have to be filled with surprises or anything like that. You just need a few good ones to make people go, oh my gosh. But it's also the fact that you can argue so many winners. Maybe Cody Rhodes does win. Maybe you pull a fast one and you have Sami Zayn win. Can you imagine that? You know, I'm sure there's other people that you could make an argument for as well. I'm still waiting for the day when there's a random Royal Rumble winner that you never saw coming. Like Bron Breakker just turns up and goes, oh, I won. I would love that if it's done in the right sense. So, no, I think come Sunday morning, there is going to be a lot of conversations. And it's all going to be good and it's all going to be exciting. And that works for me because I can make lots of video content. So at the moment, it is thumbs up for the Royal Rumble.
You know, I've seen him making the rounds online, especially with Chris Van Vliet. Shout out to my fellow Canadian. But Chris Masters has been, like, pitching the spot to anyone who would listen, where it's, like, him and Lashley for a Master Lock Challenge. I'm honestly, I would get a kick out of it. Just give the guy a vote.
Me too.
It's a good idea. Reward it. Just one day. Come on. Let's have it. Dave, how are we feeling going into this Royal Rumble? How do we feel the build has been? And on the flip side, do you think the actual event is going to exceed, meet, or perhaps fall short of your expectations?
I think it's actually going to exceed. Think of it this way. One of my favorite moments from last year was Mickie James showing up with her Impact theme so and her Impact, you know, Knockouts Championship. And that was under the creative reign of Vince McMahon. Now we have Triple H. So I can't even imagine what could possibly happen, you know, in that Women's Royal Rumble match. I got very high expectations, and I think they're going to meet that expectation. And then you look at what happened, you know, on Raw 30. How is Sami Zayn, you know, what's that test? What's that final test going to be at the Royal Rumble on Saturday? Like you mentioned, Cody's return. Do we see The Rock? I mean, that's still out there somewhere. Like, there are so many potential surprises. I think this, I actually think that this is going to be one of the greatest Royal Rumbles in recent memory. And I think it really does fall because it's under Triple H's regime. So I think they're going to knock it out of the park. I do agree with you. Last year was definitely a bit of a disappointment. I think they want to wash that bad taste out of people's mouth this year. It's going to be huge. You know, Simon gave it a 9. I'm giving it a 10. A 10 for my expectations coming up on Saturday.
Alex, how are we feeling? We have some happy... Man, there's some positivity in this room. Alex, are you going to stay on board with the train, or are you about to drag us all down with you?
No, I'm excited. Almost got you there. No, I am excited. It's the Royal Rumble. This is one of the most exciting pay-per-views in history, in wrestling history, not even just WWE. You know, it is part of the big four pay-per-views, and I will echo with what everyone is saying, where, you know, this is now under the Triple H regime, right? And so far we've had SummerSlam and we've had Survivor Series, and people have been pretty satisfied with those pay-per-views as well. So I wouldn't doubt Game that Rules the Royal Rumble would also be satisfying. And I think, again, you don't need that many huge surprise entrants for this year. I will say it is really funny that last year we are all agreeing that it is the worst Royal Rumble. And that was the event where WrestleMania sign caught on fire. And that is the worst thing that happened at the Royal Rumble last year.
I actually totally forgot about that.
Exactly. That's how bad the Rumble was, is that we completely forgot that a whole set caught on fire and they had to evacuate a section just so the fans would be safe. But, you know, it could only go up from last year. So I think this year would be really great. I think, you know, there are some heavy predictions. Cody absolutely might win the Royal Rumble, but it would be really cool to see Sami Zayn win it. Maybe even Kevin Owens still, you know, feuding with the Bloodline as well. I think the Women's Royal Rumble is very exciting because that is up in the air. I think a lot of people are predicting that Rhea Ripley is going to win, but I see Bayley winning. I think that would be really cool. But either way, I'm just so excited to be a part of, you know, watching the Royal Rumble. It is fun for any kind of level for wrestling fans, whether you're a new fan, a fan who hasn't watched in a while and you're coming back, or a current fan. It is always so much fun to watch the Royal Rumble. And, you know, me personally, I would love to see Right to Censor Ivory come back, because when she came back last year, it was golden, and I would love to see her come back this year.
and before we wrap up on some fan stuff, you know, Triple H is a little bit more in tune with sort of the online wrestling audience. What are the likelihood on? Let's give it a thumbs up, thumbs down. Maybe Alex will throw another meh at us. What is the likelihood we see a New Japan Pro Wrestling cameo at the Rumble this year? Dave, yes or no?
Ooh, you know what? I'm gonna do an Alex, and I'm going to go like this. I'm not sure. Stranger things have happened, so I'm going middle of the road. I'm riding the fence on this one.
Alex?
Okay. So, This is a huge stretch. But I would love, I know he just had his retirement match this weekend, but I would love to see the great Muto come out because he has retired, but he's never wrestled in WWE. I guess if you're counting WCW, sure, but WWE, he's never wrestled. He's retired. It would be really cool if he retired, came into the Royal Rumble, missed, I don't know, The Miz, and then just come out, get eliminated. I think that would be really great. But yeah, I don't. Maybe. I don't know. The cards might be in the stars for that one. Yeah.
I think so, yeah. I think the only problem with the Royal Rumble is, you know, wrestling politics. Because whoever comes in from New Japan, they're not going to win it, are they? So you can't have a carder in there. Because New Japan will always go, oh, win. They're going to be not winning. So, but I would imagine that Triple H would like to have a good working relationship with as many other promotions as possible. So why not? Why not put someone in there that's maybe not like a super duper star, but that would pop the hardcore fans and prove, yeah, look, we'll treat your talent well. So I'm going to say, yes, I am. I'm going to say it's going
to
happen.
Okay. I'm having fun with this. Let's do one more round. Who is more likely to make an appearance at this year's Rumble, Matt Cardona or Zack Ryder? Dave?
Zack Ryder. I think it's going to be Zack Ryder.
Alex?
For a second, I was like, wait, what's the difference? But then I got it. I want to see the woo-woo guy come back. Yeah, I want to see Zack Ryder.
Oh, that theme. You know it. I'm so stoked for that theme song, Simon.
Yeah, I think if you're going to do it, you have Zack Ryder at the Rumble, and then he goes on some kind of
a lot
like,
of people online being like, oh, it's got to be Matt Cardona. I'm like,
transition into that afterwards. Like, you move into Matt Cardona.
I just feel like the reinvention is less about the name and more about the booking. Like, I don't see a meaningful difference between Matt Cardona and Zack Ryder. I just appreciate the grind and the hustle and the commitment to carving out a new path. But it's not like they're different characters to me. They're different. He's more serious, but
he drops more F-bombs. Matt Cardona swears more.
Well, you know, it seems like Trips is more open to it, so he might fit well. Shout out to my fellow BC native, Chelsea Green. Okay, guys, let's get to these paid stuff before we go down, because we have a lot of them. I'm honestly not convinced there's a single question on here. I think everyone's just stoked to have Simon Miller back. I understand.
Oh, that's
I am
very
too.
Kind.
We'll go to TPU, says, great panel. Shout out to Miller, legend. MC Scammer. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? It's going to keep going. All right, MC Scammer, it's Miller time. So excited to have you on the podcast today. Don't blush too much.
I do. They're lovely. I love you all.
Fightful, awesome. Please sign Simon Sins when he is free.
There we go. Right.
Okay, we have a real. I mean, not that these weren't real. We appreciate them. We love Simon, but let's do something we can actually dig into. I'll let whoever. We got a little bit of time. I'll freestyle. Whoever wants to tackle this one first and go for it. Who's joining me in weeping with a smile on their face as Mark hits the J Driller on Lethal tomorrow night? I can't wait. Let's frame it this way. How are you guys going to feel watching that match?
It's going to be tough. It's going to be emotional. There's no doubt.
It's one of those things that it'll be bittersweet, right? It'd be so nice to have. I mean, Mark Briscoe is going to get a tremendous reaction, but then, you know, you'll have a great match because you will, and then it will, yeah, he'll win, but then the reality of the situation will almost re-hit you. And yeah, I guess there'll be a kind of finality to it as well, which is both good and bad, depending on how you look at it. But yeah, it's, I mean, I would compare it to the Brody Lee tribute show, right? Like a genuine beautiful thing to watch, but my word is horrendous in, you know, for the obvious reasons.
Alex?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's definitely going to be emotional for all wrestling fans, whether you are familiar with Jay Briscoe's former work or not. It's going to be emotional. And I was thinking of the Brody Lee tribute show as well, and they did a tremendous job with that. So I have no doubt that they will do a tremendous job tomorrow night as well. But I think it is going to be a heavy match to watch, but it's also, you know, a celebration of his life. You know, he's celebrating his brother, and Jay Lethal has been in the ring with Jay Briscoe hundreds and hundreds of times. So I think I would not doubt that in the beginning of the match, once they ring that bell, they will have a standing ovation, you know, as the crowd, wherever they are. I'm not sure familiar where they are going to be in tomorrow for Dynamite, but yeah, definitely very, very emotional match for tomorrow.
I was sort of mulling this one over, and it's, I mean, you know, I don't know what Mark Briscoe's full-time schedule is going to look like once he's, you know, had some rightfully deserved time to himself and with his family, but, like, is it too soon to talk about some sort of Briscoe's Tag Team Cup? Since Mark may still be actively competing, or should we just pull the trigger on it?
Yeah, just do it, right? Why not? Keep the memory alive, right?
I agree. Let's do it. For sure.
I love it. Yeah. All right, let's go to Kyle Stevens here. Hey, Simon, I need you to stop blinking for a second. Eyes wide. All right. Simon Miller, blink twice if you're in the Rumble.
The best thing about
it first.
Can you imagine, right? Let's be real here, right? If I walked out in the Royal Rumble, you get one guy out of what the 30,000 guy. I saw YouTube guy, and everyone else would be like, what's going on?
I think you get at least three, Simon. I think you get at least three.
I maybe get three, or I get a pop because everybody would think it was Goldberg and then realize, no, it's not Goldberg. That's it. That's as far as this goes.
If you give me Gilbert, Simon Miller, and Goldberg and three back-to-back entries in the Royal Rumble, I'm there for it all day.
As long as you guys stand in the middle of the ring and you do the Spider-Man point, then it's good.
Absolutely. Ooh, that's good. I'm in. Let's do it.
Let's get Ryback back while we're at it. There
you go. Nice. Yes, Cesaro, Claudio, he can come in.
Hey, yeah, Simon, who are your top five big, bald dudes of wrestling?
Oh, man. All right. Well, I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin, obviously. Goldberg. Yeah, you got to put Claudio in there, I think. I mean, the man is an absolute monster. And this is when it gets hard because I can't think of bald. There'd be such obvious bald wrestlers that I'm not, you know, I can't even fathom. Throw me some bald wrestlers. They're always, it's usually his top three.
I mean, you don't quite look like him, but Bobby Lashley is bald.
Oh my gosh, I would put Bobby Lashley in there. Yeah. See, but man, for some reason, he doesn't look bald, does he? Because he's just a monster. So I don't see him as a human being. He's just like some kind of jacked up machine. I love Bobby Lashley. Yeah, I put Bobby Lashley in there.
Bald. Ryback is bald.
I mean, I would also add Bam Bam Bigelow because Bam Bigelow had the tattoo, you know? Yeah.
That's not a bad shout. Yeah, although he can't try and tattoo his head. Now, there you go. Yeah. You see, you know, you mean you can't put Hogan in there because he pretended he wasn't bald. Still to this day, he still pretends, even though we all know. I mean, technically, Macho Man Randy Savage went bald. He did, but he too tried to hide it, but he didn't. Yeah, he did go bald.
You know, I'm very appreciative of how Adam Pearce has quietly built himself from like indie wrestler to WWE authority figure. I did not see that one coming. I could not have predicted that one.
Also, honorable mention is Molly Holly.
So, you know, funny enough, ooh, someone just said that in the chat. Very nice.
Oh, really?
And Jazz, too. Jazz.
Oh, Jazz. Great one, Jazz.
She smashes that, right? She smashes that look. Yeah. Tremendous.
That ended up being a better question than I had anticipated, in my opinion. I'm happy to hear it. All right, last one for the day. Shout out to MC Scammer again. Miller for Rumble winner 2023. Yeah, I have no follow-up to that. Sorry, I tried. Oh, Serena Deeb was bald for a time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. Shout out to Baron Corbin as well. He's bald.
Triple H is bald now.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Shawn Michael is bald. Kurt Angle is bald.
Oh, man, Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle. My goodness. Terrible job by everybody.
Yeah, it's true.
Guys, this has been a blast. I'm having so much fun. I wish we could keep going, but it's about time to wrap up. First and foremost, I want to thank everyone who tuned in today, donated their super chats, left their questions, mostly just complimented Simon Miller, but he deserves it, man. Up 11:30 yes. local time after an excursion to the U.S.
Big Simon Miller.
People think you're high. I can't confirm or deny that, but I know you're tired because you've been working hard. So nicely done.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, genuinely, I've never smoked weed in my life. That's true, too. I never have. I told someone this the other day, and they thought I was crazy. I was like, it just never happened. Sorry.
Someone told me the other day, I think my fiance's dad, that apparently he just learned like 12% of people have never, globally have never touched alcohol. And I'm like, that. Doesn't Dave's like, I sure have. All right.
No, anyone that said nice things, I really do appreciate it. It means the world to me. You humble me very much.
Yeah, we appreciate having you. Simon, any upcoming wrestling bookings that you can share with us? Where can the people see?
Yeah,
you?
I mean if you're in the UK and you're watching this, I mean, I have loads. I mean, the best thing I'll do is I'll say, go to my Twitter at SimonMiller316. However, if you are US-based, what I will tell you, I don't want to confirm anything to you yet because it's all conversations. If you're going to WrestleMania weekend and you'd like to see Simon Miller wrestle, I may have one of those schedules that you look at and go, well, that was a silly thing to do. but isn't it awesome? And then, yeah, hopefully in April, going back to New York as well. But yeah, just for all dates, just hit me up on social media. And if anyone can come down, I'd love to see it.
Love it. Dave, I think the people know where they can find you, but I want to leave the floor to you. Anything you want to let them know, please.
Yeah, Busted Open live Monday through Saturday, 9 to noon on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. You can also get the podcast if you're too cheap for Sirius. Get the podcast wherever you get Apple Podcasts. And, you know, I got my hot sauce, LaGreca'sRage.com. Make sure you get a bottle of my hot sauce. They tell me it's good.
I have a hot sauce-related video I've had in the pipeline for a while, so that's good news for me. Alex, where can the lovely people see your lovely face?
You can see this beautiful face on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I'm exploring the Gen Z apps as well. Twitch, everywhere, Queen of the Ring. I do have a brand new podcast. It is on Spotify and Apple and iHeartRadio as well, called Queen of the Ring with Alex Lajas. And I have 3 episodes coming out this week, a bonus episode talking about the Bella Twins and hyping up Nikki Bella getting married, Royal Rumble predictions, and of course Royal Rumble reviews. It's brand new, so yay, another wrestling podcast.
But they're not all cut from the same cloth.
No, they're not.
For my part,
also, of course, shout out to What Culture Wrestling just quickly as well. Oh, yeah, I don't want to get yelled at. What Culture Wrestling? Yeah, that guy.
That's an up.
Ups, down. Hey, if I start seeing ups and down videos on What Culture, I'm going to have a problem with it, right? Because that's proprietary.
Yeah, I know. I would never do that. I wouldn't do it.
For my part, thank you guys for tuning in. You know, I guess most people are here for pro wrestling. Shaq Wrestling on YouTube is where you can find all my interviews. Sorry I've been cranking them out quite as frequently. Sometimes it's just the nature of the beast. We have one recently with Kofi Kingston. That was a fun chat. If you want to dive through the vault, there's some really good ones with The Undertaker, Malachi Black. Those are some that come to mind. Please go check them out. If you like MMA, lots of MMA content these days. Go over to Shaq MMA on YouTube. You can find all of my written work on CBS Sports. We'll have interviews with the new champions, Jamal Hill and Brandon Moreno, out tomorrow or Thursday. Look out for that. And of course, shout out to Sean Ross Sapp. Shout out to Jimmy Van. Everyone at Fightful who makes this possible, lets me come in, kick down the doors every month and take over. We really appreciate it. Please subscribe to them if you haven't already. Maybe you joined one of these lovely people on the bandwagon today. For Dave, for Alex, for Simon, you guys have been a treat. Thank you so much for doing this. Fans, love you. See you next time here on Fightful Roundtable. Next month, we'll be back with another edition. Peace out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.